with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Aiden Smith with the ball. Game clock at 2:20 and ticking. Purdue up 7. Braden gets downhill and makes a left-handed layup. He had to roll it around the rim a couple of times, but Braden made the layup. He has 9 points. Purdue's up 9 with 2:05 to play.
Drew has to watch his back. Drew gives it up just in time to Reese. He goes corner to Kobe. He wants a 3. He makes a 3! Trojans by 7, their largest lead of the game. Timeout, UCLA, and this place erupts. USC basketball, double team on Drew. He kicks it to Boogie. He fakes the 3, dribbles into a wide open mid-range, and knocks it through. Too easy for Boogie Ellis. He's got the stroke on lock, and the Trojans up 7. And here comes the crowd again.
By Boswell. Mullen driving through. Will somebody hit a 3? Finally! That's Justin Powell. Never led in this game. Larson again! Wow! From the wing, going hard. Pella Larson.
Flustered, frustrated, fun, fantastic. Whatever you want to call it. Today's Friday. Friday.
It's an alliteration.
It's Friday.
Do you know me? Were you looking for a word in which I could go with Friday? Because I typically either go with football or fun if we're in the first part of the season.
Ferocious.
How about feisty?
Feisty's a good one. It kind of fits all moods on a Friday today, huh?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can hit the positive side of feisty, and you can hit the, oh, man, if you're dragging your feet on the way to work today, it's still Friday, so you see the light at the end of the tunnel, but at the same time, you're like, I got to be here for 8 hours.
Oh, here's the cool thing. If you're us, this isn't even really our weekend.
No.
Because the most sports happen on the weekend, so it's like...
What is weekend for radio? What do you think? Because it's all based on season.
So, after the NFL, the weekend for sports talk will be like a Sunday-Monday.
Sunday-Monday.
That's what I think. Because there's no real...
high school basketball
There's
tends
only
to...
the one good early time slot college basketball game on a Sunday, right?
Right.
It's usually a conference game. Big Ten variety. Maybe you get an eight. Nah, you won't be an ACC. You get a late Pac-12 tilt on a Sunday, and then Monday. I know they have They're back to Super Tuesdays, but what are we doing with Big Monday? Is it still big, or is that just a figment of
it's
my
just
imagination?
Because
it hasn't been big.
It's just Monday.
It's just been Monday. Are they waiting for some people to leave? They got another trick up their sleeve. Step
right.
with Pep to the back of the house. Looked in. All the lights were out. That's different. That's a different song.
Or poetry.
That too. Just call me Longfellow.
Oh, okay.
Wait, Shane, who's the guy in, it's Longfellow, like Deeds, right?
Shane would be Shortfellow.
Mr. That's what we're on today.
No, I think if you're talking about yourself, isn't it Little John?
What? Okay. What? Dude, I think show prep matters, and having Sasha here early, where we did the Friday morning dump.
It's probably Friday morning intervention.
Man. Listen, I can't just be the ABG all the time.
It's the ABG.
I can't. I can't be that guy all the time. But we got to tighten this up, Drew Down.
Hey, we're here. We're having fun.
And you still have your coat on. Are you cold?
Kind of. Like, this shirt, I don't know why they make shirts, like, so breathable sometimes.
Yeah, well,
because,
a lot
like,
of times
in the winter
that would be a shirt that people would maybe go run in on a fall day.
Right. Not wear on a winter day.
Yeah. So sometimes it's operator error. Right? It's not the manufacturer.
Hey, sometimes it's 5:15 in the morning and you're like, what's on top?
Yeah. Sometimes you're just coming from a holiday party and you're like, I feel like I just left here.
Yeah. And that was last night.
I did not. Thanks
Although
for the reminder.
RSVP.
I did. Because I wanted to come. First of all, I'm here all the time. So why wouldn't I eat when it's not on my dime?
100%. And we had, what did we have?
Hey, can I ask? What did we have? What did you have?
Oh, my goodness. What did we have?
What did you have? And how is this going to be on Twitter? Like, why are you going to Twitter to see what you had?
Well, because Hail Varsity Club tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
It was it tacos? Was it?
How do you not know?
Well, I think it was a taco.
Shane.
I think it was a taco.
What's Shane, up?
Did you
he
come?
He wasn't here.
I was not here.
Oh, it was after hours. Anything after 6, do you even come out of the house?
Anything after 10, I don't think he comes out of the
house. No, 10. 10?
A.M.
Oh, good call. No, like 1.
Okay, 1.
1, he is public enemy. He's shutting it down. Shut it down. That's right. We can't play music. Liquid.
What's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How often, how many times a year?
I don't go out on a school night.
No, I understand. I understand. You do look like a student.
Yeah.
Do you take the bus to school today?
Hey, do you remember?
I wish.
Do you remember old Bugs Bunnies? Did you watch any sort of, or do you remember any Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember Baby
Chachos? That's what we had.
Do you remember Babyface Fenster?
No.
Okay. Fenster was...
He was a badass.
Fenster looked like a baby, but he was a grown man.
Got it.
So yep. In order to get over on the baby, on the heist...
Okay, I remember the cartoon character now that I see
and
him.
And Bugs Bunny was like, he peeked in through the keyhole, and because Fenster was left at the rabbit hole, kind of like a wayward orphan, kind of
right.
How I feel sometimes at the company. And... right, exactly.
That's who I remember.
And so
cigar.
Bugs Bunny peeks through the keyhole, and he's like, Fenster? Shaven? Tattoo? So it finally dawned on Bugs that they were trying to get over on him. That, my friend, is how Shane is on school nights, because he's built like a 12-year-old. He mm-hmm. looks like a 12-year-old. When he used to turn and burn grits, he smelled like a 60-year-old. So I always used to tell him, if you still want all the discounts, shave, knock on doors, save yourself a lot of money. People will think you're a kid.
I don't know. I mean, you
just
senior,
walk up. Just walk up like the kid in my old neighborhood.
The other way, though.
Just walk up like the kid in my old neighborhood. Hey, can I open your garage? Hey, can I open your garage?
Wait a minute, though. You're not.
Just be a kid.
You're not close to being able to get discounts.
But I'm just saying, if you're smelling like you smoked grits for the last 40 years and. You know, and you got the beard, and it's starting to gray a little bit because of your job getting up early in the morning.
You could have passed for a kid, except you smelled like a smoky distillery. Not like Tennessee whiskey.
That was a long time ago.
Tennessee whiskey. Somebody DM'd me yesterday. They said, stop singing. No kidding. I can't sing. But I have fun. Sometimes I'm just in my own little world.
Hey, if we were on The Voice, would a chair turn around for you? Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
They'd be like, who had the audacity and the gall to be on this show being so terrible? Or as my man Charles Barkley would say, terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. How about how he wanted his all-star picks back last night during the show? He's like, hey, can I have my...
Can I restart?
Can I have my sheet back? hey, we're not doing that for real, are we? Man, I forgot about Aaron Gordon. Hey, give... He's like yelling at the producer.
He is a forgetful man.
Dude, he is like one of my favorites.
Good entertainer on TV.
I mean, I try to stick to sports 94% of the time, but I typically kind of vibe with a lot of his political views and kind of his stance on society.
And
he's a self-help, pull yourself up kind of guy.
And why is it always the producer's fault?
What? Because you guys push all the buttons.
Pushing the buttons? How does that translate into Charles making his picks?
Yeah, well, Charles was a little haphazard. Dead period starts. So you know what that means for me? Recruiting
free time.
Thank the Lord.
Free time.
Thank the Lord.
But speaking of recruiting, there were some.
You're gonna recruit setting the show.
Yeah.
Because I haven't given you one opportunity to even say.
It's all right.
Like
we're good.
Just start complaining.
Hey, just like Shane hasn't eaten oatmeal since 1980. We'll get to the show set up eventually.
Nah.
We're gonna open things up here by starting with recruiting and how coaches come in with a plan and some coaches come without a plan, which is an interesting tactic. And the only person that can really give some pretty good thoughts on that is you, DB. So we'll hit that in a moment.
No, hey, don't put the spotlight on me.
We'll get to our poll question by segment, and we'll also play Doggy Dog with DB at 7:45. So if you'd like to play trivia against DB, 888-638-4876. We're talking to Alex Baugh at 8 o'clock. Alex Baugh, the head coach over at Lincoln Southwest. Then we could talk to Robin Washit, Nebraska senior team writer for Husker Online at 8:30. And we close, as we always do on a Friday, with Mike Sauter, who participated in a wrestling match on Wednesday. And I'm sure that's how...
Which, by the way...
How things will start.
If that was a... That is to let you know that if you're older, be very, very careful about stepping in the competitive arena. Because even when it's fun and games...
Somebody always gets hurt.
Somebody can get hurt.
Somebody always gets hurt. And
feeling very vad. Feeling. Hey, look. Yeah.
Prayers up for Chuck.
Listen, I just said very vad. Mm-hmm. I feel very bad for one Chuck Mulligan.
Mm. Hey, going back to.
Oh, by the way, look like he got snipered.
Well, yeah, because he's limping.
All of a sudden, it was very. What's the word? Subtle, innocuous. It didn't look like much. And all of a sudden, he stopped movement, and Sauter let up, right. And I was like, what happened?
There was some defeat there, I think, after the first takedown.
Yeah.
Did you hear
the medical diagnosis, though?
All I saw was the text from Sauter last night that said, hey, this is what it is.
I was like, that would be a – how would you explain that to your insurance?
Think about him. He's a single guy, DB. Yeah. Do you know what it takes for a deductible for a single guy?
Oh, you start doing the numbers in your head.
If he needs surgery,
oh, look at you thinking like a soon to be married grown up.
If he needs surgery, that thing's going to be like $6,000. His deductible is going to be huge.
Hey, let's not.
No big deal.
Prayers up for Chuck.
Let's not bring the. It's a fun Friday.
Or is it feisty? It
was definitely that. I don't even know why I got started on that tangent.
Which one?
The one that I walked in on.
You just feel a certain way every time you step into the building.
I feel some type of way. And Sasha was here, so.
All came up. Hey, some coaches have a plan, others don't. And you told me this mm-hmm. based on recruiting visits that you witnessed on Wednesday this week.
Yeah, now all week. Thank the Lord for the dead period.
Okay, I should say all week, but. Primarily, we were talking about it when P.J. Fleck came into town, mm-hmm. and Omaha has garnered a lot of attention all over the place. I mean, coaches came to visit Westside, but they were also at Bellevue West,
Ainsworth,
Omaha Central. They were all over the place.
Absolutely.
And the schools in town ranged much further than just Minnesota, Colorado, Vandy.
So off the top of my head, Penn State, Miami, Oklahoma, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vanderbilt, Iowa, Iowa State. Iowa State's coming back. Iowa State is back again this morning. Matt Campbell was just here 4 days ago. And we've seen more head coaches.
And who were they here to see? Everybody?
Well, I think I can say this, but I think they want a couple of guys to throw and catch this morning.
Okay.
Because we I'm a little biased. But I'd rather be right than well-liked. So I'm not going to sell you on a couple of guys if I don't think
right.
they can play at the Power 5 level. And I do think I know what it takes to play at the Power 5 level, if nothing else from an emotional standpoint, mm-hmm. right? I leave the physical stuff to the guys that get paid, but I do think that I have some sort of baseline. But the Rezac is throwing today,
yep.
who is going to be a fascinating case study. Because from a pure passing standpoint, it's going to be one thing. From a winner standpoint, it's going to be one thing. From a athleticism standpoint, it's going to be another. And you're going to have to look at the composites of what you really want. But at the end of the day, it's like I always say, he's a winner. He's a flat-out winner, and he's a gamer, and he competes. And so, you know, if I had one game to win, you can give me any other quarterback out here. And I mean that. Any other quarterback out here. And I'm going to take that guy because he's going to find a way to get her done. Like
how
my man Larry.
How would you compare him to somebody that maybe didn't watch Rezac play a lot
he's
in high school?
He's Cam Rising.
He's wow.
He is. No, I got no qualms saying it.
He's a big comp.
He's Cam Rising from Utah. Not always aesthetically like how you draw it up, but then you look at the results and you're like, oh, right here with a chance to win. He's Cam, and he's ultra competitive, and we do a lot of these. I'm not going to tell you how the sausage is made, but we care a lot about more than just if you can, you know, jump 35 inches or whatever. There's like this mental component that we try to assess so we know how, you know, pressure. And so we take a lot of tests, like tests that big time agencies use just to kind of get a gauge of where people's pressure and their aptitude is in crunch time. He's off the charts.
Danny Kalen's a good quarterback, too.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of people are coming in to
see. Yeah, and, you know, and Kalen's interesting because, and I hope, I just call him DK because he's a super nice kid. He's an interesting comp because physically, you go watch him throw, he's lights out. Big, strong kid, can make all the throws. So the fan in me that cheers for him, right, because I want everybody to be able to go to school, I'm like, hey, man, a lot of upside. The coach in me that coaches against him, I want to put him in the pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. Like that's the duality of my personality. I'm going to cheer for you, but I know if we want to have a chance to beat you guys, I'm going to make you have to make plays that you're not comfortable making. So that will be the and college coaches don't care. They just like the tools because I think they think they can coach the rest of it out of you. And listen, you don't get Penn State, Northwestern, Virginia. Who else came to see him? Miami. Like, when schools only make one stop or two stops, you're probably pretty good. And that's DK. Mm-hmm. They weren't going anywhere
else.
He's
got a pretty nice guy to throw the football to as well.
Listen, no disrespect. No disrespect to Hall. Give me Isaiah McMorris.
Both are studs.
Listen, here's the thing about Isaiah. He's ultra competitive. Those are miserable people to play against. And he works at it. Like, the off season matters to him. I think he does his homework. He's hard to play against. Now, don't think for 1 minute that we're not counting the number of good wide receivers they have and already thinking about – usually it's three or four they have. We'll see what it is this year. But we're already like, hey, coverage-wise, this is what we want to do.
What's their graduation year? What are those guys' graduation years?
So those guys are 24s. So in the 24 class, you have Caleb Pyfrom, DK, Kalen. You have the Rezacks. You have Benning. You have Carter Nelson. You have McMorris, Hall. I mean, it's crowded. It's exciting.
A lot of talent.
It's exciting.
A huge field.
It is.
Now, you told me, though.
But the dad in me, though, is removed from this situation. I do think there's a clear-cut number one in terms of a three-way guy.
And that's
Caleb
Benning.
When you talk about offense, defense, and special teams. I think any coach with a pulse that's played against
said guy
would say the same thing.
You told me, though, on Wednesday that based on visits just with your kid, with Caleb, he asks a lot of good questions. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a thinker. He likes to dig deep into the head of that head coach and say, what do you have in store for me?
It's primarily because he was a relationship guy.
Right. What's your plan for not only just me, but maybe the position group? And you told me that some coaches were like, hey, I got an answer for you. And then you said some don't.
Yeah.
And to some degree, you like the honesty, you like the transparency, but at the same time, do you have all your ducks in a row by telling a recruit that you don't know what the plan is for you, the position group? Where do your thoughts gauge on how, hey, some coaches have a plan and know what they're doing, one being Matt Rhule. The other coaches that visit, whoever they are, I don't know if you want to name any names. You can if you want. You don't have to. Come in and are like, hey, we haven't really gotten to you yet.
Yeah, so I'll start with a good one, right? Northwest Missouri State. Win a lot of national championships. Win a lot of football games.
I've watched it many of times.
Very clear. And this doesn't have anything to do with Caleb. I'm just talking about, let's take him out of it. Let's just talk recruiting. Very clear on what they're after. How they play. How they want to play. This is what they do. Then you have some other schools that are there for a couple of different reasons. Number one, it's another school said, hey, they weren't really familiar with the area, so another school may say, hey, you need to go check out such and such. And because that coach is reputable or whatever, they'll go say, oh, we better go take a look at this guy. You'll get some schools that are tweeners that, gosh, he's on our radar. Man, we'd like to see him live. Like, can he run around? Can he throw for us? And they think they have a general idea. Then you have some schools that have a very clear-cut plan. Now, it's easy to say. The longer you've done this and the more ingrained you are, it's easy. It's easier for Iowa. It's easier for Minnesota. Even though Minnesota has had some staff turnover, when you bring Rossi, Fleck, and Danny Collins, like those are dudes, right? Those are guys that they're going to sell you on their program. LeVar Woods comes, I'm pretty sure, with Coach Ferentz. They know what they want to do, right? Now, there are some other schools that have just they're just getting their staffs together. And it's like, hey, we
is that an excuse, though?
I think so.
Is Matt Rhule and his staff the exception?
Yes. That's why. So
because they set a certain standard.
So full disclosure, that started this whole conversation between you and I off air. And I said a little on air. I'm like, you know what's crazy? And I said this yesterday, the day before yesterday. Compared to some schools that have done this a while and have most of their staff intact, what Nebraska's doing, being like-minded and on the same page and pitching the same plan, is unbelievable.
How do you not have a good vibe, though, a good plan? Because
I think some of the staffs that are out on the road haven't had time to spend enough time together. I truly believe
it's been 2 months for this coaching staff.
I understand, but I don't know how much time they've met and sat down in the same room to go over philosophy.
Whose fault is that?
Well, it rests with the head coach.
Is it time or is it?
It rests with the head coach, right? But I do appreciate the honesty, and I think they do too. And then conversely,
but does that turn you off as a recruit?
No. Well, I don't. That's up to him. I don't know. I mean,
it would turn me off if they didn't have a plan for me.
I think he was okay with that. I think he was okay. You know, I don't think he was like, wow, that was. I think he understood. Plus, you know, he's not in a hurry.
Right? Oh, by no means.
So he's okay for them to sort it out. And conversely, there's some other coaches that are like, you know, the head coach didn't come, but some really good recruiters came, and it was like, hey, listen, come to our campus. Spend a day there. We know that whatever they said. We know you're the dude, but you have to make sure that this is a place that you could come see and spend time with if we're going to invest in you. He doesn't just want to call you and offer you a scholarship. He wants to look you in the eye and say X, Y, and Z. I got no problems with that either. Do you know why? Because when I look back at the baseline, well, that's part of why they win. Just doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Just doesn't leave a ton to chance. So,
sounds like another guy we like.
Dude, he's I'm just telling you. This isn't Kool-Aid. This isn't DB like, oh, man, all in on Matt Rhule. I'm just telling you. It's jarring to see how cohesive and on the same page they are with how they want to go about doing their business in such a short amount of time. And say what you want about the mafia mentality and only hiring guys he knows and being in the family, but it's very advantageous as you look at how they've recruited.
Lance, we'll get to you next. We'll also expand on this topic and get to the poll question. That's all coming your way.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to the show, Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency, live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hail Varsity Club. We're playing trivia next segment, so make sure to call in 888-638-4876. But in the meantime, let's expand on our current conversation, but I want to start with Michigan Lance on line one. Shane, can you bring Lance onto the show? Lance, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Hey, good. We can hear you today, so it's always a good day.
What's up, buddy?
Yes, indeed. So, I heard a little bit, like, I'm playing YouTube and I'm on hold, so it's kind of... So, Andrew, there was a staff that you felt didn't know what they were kind of had a clear plan, but
right.
Nebraska does, and you like the way. So what was the staff, and what was their plan where you felt it wasn't clear?
DB and I were talking earlier this week, and he told me that some coaches that came in to Westside had a clear-cut plan. They knew what they wanted to accomplish. But then he also told me that some coaches didn't have a plan at all, and I could not believe that because – and, you know, it's unfair because I attribute everything back to Matt Rhule and the job that he's done and the plan that he's been able to put forward here in the state of Nebraska and throughout, you know, wherever he went on his recruiting trips. He was in St. Louis yesterday. He's been in Texas, you know, on the East Coast. And in 2 months – everybody's on the same page, and I couldn't gauge why some coaches didn't have any sort of plan when they were talking to a recruit.
Okay, so DB?
Yes.
So the coach, it depends on the coach. Like, was it a defensive backs coach that came in, they were recruiting the quarterback? I don't know for sure because I don't coach your position. I got to go back and confer. Was it that type of deal, or was it really no clear cut? You know what I'm saying?
So, great question, and I was explaining this to Andrew all week. I said, can you understand that it was – because I'm not going to put the schools out there because the recruiting process is ongoing, and I'm not going to be disrespectful because I wasn't bothered by it. I was just simply having conversations about the differences – and schools. So the answer to your question is yes. It was a guy that is on the opposite side of the ball that typically his position you would not expect to be well-versed in the other side of the ball in terms of what that position did.
Right.
So I told him I was more impressed by the open – and honesty to say right where they're at than to pretend and not set the standard. But it was a very stark contrast.
So at the end of the day, here's where me and DB are similar, Andrew. We want the truth, good, bad, or indifferent.
Sure.
So as long as it's the truth, and then let me go from there. Mm-hmm. Don't sell me a bill, because there's people that can sell a bill of goods and say, hey, here's my plan, this is what I do, this is how I do it. And then when you get there, well, the wool gets pulled from over their eye.
Yeah,
and it's not.
And I'm with you there.
And full disclosure, I get the sense that I have seen that already.
Right, and for me, I'm with you there, but if I put myself in a recruit shoes, mm-hmm. That's not an answer. That answer would turn me off.
So, you know what's interesting? I don't know how you feel about this. So, there's a lot of kids that are probably close in the state that feel like, even amongst themselves, some offers are more legit than others. So, where do you think that comes from? Because that's a real thing. And that's been going on for a while.
Yep.
Does that matter?
There's a lot of fake offers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it.
From coaches.
No, I get it.
Right.
Not kids just making up stuff.
Right. Yeah, you know, for me, Lance, I was more on the front of there's a problem with leadership on the top down early. And when Matt Rhule came to Nebraska, he made sure that everybody was on the same page, no matter what. That even if Garrett Cooper went out somewhere to do some recruiting, he would know a little bit about every position group. That's just because everybody knows the mission, the plan. They don't have to know the exact formations, but there is some sort of clear-cut plan, some sort of answer that you can give
Let me give you guys two examples.
Can I give you an example then?
Yeah, go ahead. You go first, Lance.
All right, so let's take Colorado, right, for instance, because I'm a Deion Sanders guy. Well, I'm a Coach Prime guy. He's a coach now. When he put his staff together, he said, hey, I hire guys that I know. And he said, I hired some guys that I knew somebody that knew them that I trust. So I may not know the guy directly, but somebody I know and trust knows them and says, this is your guy.
Yeah.
This is who I'm going with. So if Deion Sanders, so Matt Rhule, if you look at the background of his coaches, well, they're all from the same area of where he is, mm-hmm. or where he was, where he's been, what he's known, the Northeast. He's either coached with them or know them from being in the northeastern part of the country.
Or Texas.
So even the guy from Texas that he just got, he's from Massachusetts. So there's a comfortability with that. Deion Sanders is still getting to know his staff mm-hmm. in 2 months, right? That's not enough time to really say, if I got a guy on my staff I don't know, but the guy who I trust told me to hire him, hey, man, I'm going to trust him to a certain extent. We still got to know each other. Mm. My assistant has to know me.
Yeah.
I have to know my assistant. Take somebody, for example.
Yeah,
like
I get the time. I get the time aspect. What you're talking about, I understand that. It comes down to good communication, though, too. There to hire that coach.
Hold on, no. Listen, man, it's not that easy to say, okay, I got a guy I don't know at all, so I'm going on somebody else, right? I trust them, but I just don't. I can't trust their eye completely at a position that isn't their specialty to say, you know what, go out here and get this guy. Because I might say, hey, I want this type of guy, and they may misinterpret it. Okay, I got this type of guy. Yeah, but I said this as well. Like, you didn't interpret what I'm saying right, because we don't have that comfortability of relationship of knowing each other long enough. Oh, he really meant this, or I miss this intent.
Well, sometimes
that can happen.
And sometimes it matters on who you're recruiting too. Like, it's up to that coach to be familiar enough to know the kid's personality, the young man or woman's personality. Because two different examples, you know, Nebraska lost out on an in-state guy a couple years ago. And it basically came down to the school that he went to, they had a very clear-cut plan. Right, we want mm-hmm. you to do this. This is how we see you. This is this, and it fit his particular personality. So, for as mad as people were at Nebraska or whatever, you know, for not getting him, it was more about what the other school did. Right now, conversely, if Tony White comes to, who's been here all of 4 days, comes to Westside, and they're talking 3-3-5. And going over film and weak side defense and how he could play in the nickel or the corner or the slot or whatever, and mm-hmm. you know that he hasn't been there very long, whether he has a clear-cut plan or not, the fact that that's been discussed with the staff as a whole before he even hits the road, like, that's impressive too. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
most definitely.
Well, yes. And you know, maybe – excuse me. Maybe I'm unfair, right? The way that I think may not be how everybody thinks, obviously. And that's why it's good to get a couple different perspectives.
Right,
totally. But, like, you know, just for me, like, this is just a me thing. If you don't come with a plan at all, like, we have nothing to talk about. That's how I feel.
Nah, man.
That's just how I feel.
I hear you. But if somebody tells you on the front end.
Right. And I get your point. I really do. Like, you make a really good point, Lance. And so does DB. So I can understand the perspectives. That's just how my brain works.
I'm just watching.
I got you.
I'm watching from afar to see if, like, what I hear and what I'm watching. You know, because listen, I get along with a lot of the other coaches in the Metro. And so we talk about when schools come by and what's happening and what's their strength. And, you know, and part of it is me just wanting to glean information to compare and contrast to Nebraska, right? Because I want to know if they're on the right track. But some of it is just I want to know how other people think. So there's a lot of different ways to skin this thing. But at the end of the day, I pit it against how I see a team play on Saturdays versus what I'm hearing before then. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm there. Lance,
go ahead.
Quick thing, man, real quick. Damon mentioned Northwest Missouri State, right?
Yeah.
I had a kid on my team that Northwest Missouri offered them a walk-on several years ago. He accepted the walk-on. A week later, they rescinded the walk-on. Now, this is the prestige Northwest Missouri State, right?
Right.
That has a plan and knows what they're doing. They rescinded a walk-on, not a scholarship, a walk-on offer.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, don't sell me a bill of goods. Tell me on the front end. Hey, I got another guy behind you that I may look at, too, that this may not be
there. Hey, I'm with you with that transparency. Yeah.
Northwest Missouri State.
And Northwest Missouri State I know very well because I went to Lindenwood. So, thanks, Lance. Appreciate the call. Hey, trivia's up next. Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency, Damon Benning, Andrew Rogers. We had a great conversation with Michigan Lance during the last segment, so we always appreciate his call.
A lot of opinions on Twitter.
Opinions, but good points from both sides.
Yeah,
and
Husker follower says.
Go ahead.
I could see something like, hey, you're good, we want you. We don't know exactly how you'll fit in yet. I think we could develop you to succeed at multiple positions, but we will put you in the best position to use your talents to help the team and yourself. Like, that could work.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, right? And I think the whole key to good quality recruiting is understanding who you're talking to. Like, for some kid, you and I were just talking off air, right? One of the things that sticks in Drew Down's Andrew's craw is, my personality is, I would want to know, hey, how do you envision this? Some other people may just enjoy the process. Hey, school X was here to see me. Whew, right? So you have to be very cognizant of that.
Of who you're talking to.
Of who you're talking
right.
to. But at the end of the day, I tweeted this out the other day. I said, recruit the type of players that enjoy the competition and playing more than being recruited. And that's two-sided. It's for the prospective student-athlete, and it's also for the university, because it just will alleviate a lot of headache. You know, why did I like Northwest Missouri State? Well, full disclosure, I'm a little biased, right? Like, I'm a Boswick family guy. I know what that school is meant for kids in the area. They win a lot. They've come to high schools that I've coached at just to provide insight. We've gleaned a lot of things from them in terms of how to play defense, how to tackle, like what their philosophy is.
You can learn a lot on the basketball court too.
Hey, listen, let me tell you how good they were. When they're talking to our head coach the other day, you talk about knowing who you are. I'm listening. I'm just listening. I'm reading the paper in my head coach's office, right? I'm kind of paying attention because I know him, but I'm not trying to steal that thunder either. I'm not trying to go back and, you know, Zach Martin is there coaching, Coach Martin's son, who I coached and coached with. They've had a ton of guys. So I'm a little biased, right? Just because whatever. Northwest Missouri State was the first school to call about Xavier Betts 5 months ago, right? So they know what they're doing. So now, having said that, I'm listening to him talk to Coach Simonji, and he says, listen, Coach, he said, it's a little early for us, right, on 2024s. But we want to know right where we're at and get a good look so I can get eyeballs on these kids. He made the concession, even as a program that wins national championships and multiple games, he understands full well where they may be in the grand scheme of things, right? Because it takes a certain amount of conviction and security to come in after, you know, Virginia or Northwestern or whatever and say, hey, we're Northwest Missouri State. But he didn't back down at all in terms of what the program means. Because as he's talking to some of the guys, it's like, hey, listen, we develop our guys. We win a lot of games, right? We're highly successful at what we do. And I was like, you know what? I'm just sitting back, and I can appreciate, number one, knowing right who they are. Hey, I know such and such school just left. Don't care. What I want to do is I'm telling you right where we're at and what we want. And had one of the better conversations of anybody that was in that building. So sometimes authenticity and being honest will take you a really, really long way in the recruiting game, because at least you know right where you're at. And I think that's one of the things that I was thinking about when I'm listening to some of these other schools, and they're like, hey, listen, not sure, but this is where we're at. I want to make contact to let you know you're on the radar and X, Y, and Z. I can appreciate it too. I had another coach that's left the state school that's at another school that's like, hey, man, just letting you know, we're going to be on your butt, so just be prepared. I can appreciate that too. I don't know anything about your school, and he doesn't either, but I can appreciate that, right? It's just like, you know, you listen to me talk.
You can appreciate it, but do you take it seriously?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I trust him.
Because those are two different things.
Because I trust him. I trust him.
But say you didn't. Say you didn't know him. Say it's coach comes up and says, like, hey, you know, like you.
That's a good question.
We'll put you in the best position to succeed, like Husker follower said.
It doesn't.
But do you take that seriously because it's just like a, hey, handshake, move on?
Does this make sense? It's not about me.
Sure. It's about the recruit,
so
the individual.
I'm just listening.
But put yourself 20 years ago.
I know.
25 years ago. How old? 48?
Yeah, but you know what's dangerous for me? To interject myself in the current process.
Right.
And with revisionist history. It's very, very hard. It's a very, very fine line, which is why you listened to me talk to another Metro coach the other day for 40 minutes. I called him right after the show, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking, and you're waiting on me, and we're talking, and I'm listening to him and gleaning some ideas. And it's nothing that I wouldn't do with other coaches in the Metro.
Right.
Just because for me, as I'm listening, there's the coach aspect, and then there's the parent aspect, which I think is fascinating. But all the while where I'm watching, I think it makes me much better at my job when I'm talking about colleges and assessing programs, because I get to pit what I'm not. Listen, it'd be disingenuous for me to sit here and say I have no idea how Kansas State wins. I have no idea why Iowa wins. I have no idea why Minnesota wins. I have a very
good idea
of why right. they win, because I'm watching.
Right.
I know how important culture is to some schools, right? Coach Haycock, Coach Matt Campbell, I know why. And say what you want about the pushback on Matt Campbell sometimes for me is laughable. But I know why that he's been able to sustain that program. I watch him,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I'm paying very close attention. Do you know why I believe? I don't know if it equates to wins, but do you know why I believe in Coach Rhule? You know why. I talk to him mm-hmm. all the time. It's
because he knows what he wants to do. He knows what players will fit his program.
He's a fit guy.
Right.
He knows, based on where I've been, how I like to coach, what my staff is about, this player works for me. He's not out here casting this wide net and shaking the colander and seeing what's left.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he's not just reaching for five-star guys and that's it.
Listen, I just talked to a guy. We're going back and forth on text. Guy I respect a lot. He's in education. He's got some kids that are pretty good. I saw his youngest son at the Prep West Side game the other night. And he's a diehard fan of another Big Ten team. Doesn't even like Nebraska. He puts the school that he cheers for, he's got the rock in his yard. He's got the porch swing. He's that dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, I'm really starting to come around on Nebraska. Seems like they're all in, authentic. What's the word that he used? He just sent it to me. They seem to be attentive and willing to lock down the state. He doesn't even like Nebraska, right?
But you can witness it.
Yeah. One of his very good friends, our mutual friend, his kid went to his school.
Right.
Right? So it's like, some things, it just is what it is. And I think it would be a lot easier for, I think, the fan base to kind of understand that it's complicated. Like, you want all these kids to stay in state, and there's a good group, man. Look at 24s and 25s. I mean, fudge.
Nebraska has it going.
It's some fellas, right? And I just told you, I just named the four schools that are at Bellevue West. Look who's going to Ainsworth. I mean, Michigan, Penn State.
Everybody.
Everybody, right?
And, you know, you almost wonder, too, because of how Matt Rhule's inserting himself in the area. Like, he's rebuilding the pipeline in Texas, and he's inserting himself in everybody else's territory, that you almost wonder if there's a little jealousy or resentment from other coaches, like, hey, I got to do the same thing to him because he's doing it to me. But they're playing catch-up. Everybody's playing catch-up with Matt Rhule. That's what I've been noticing over the past few weeks.
If I'm listening to Clark Lee, right, and he comes in from Vandy, it was later in the day, and people have a certain vantage point of where you are in the SEC, he doesn't believe one word of that. Not one word. And the way that he talks and his conviction and belief and being able to cast a vision, see, that's that kind of stuff matters. If I'm another school, I won't say them out loud, and let's say you come, school's out early, right? You kind of mistimed it. You said you were going to be here at this time. You think you have more time. School's out early on Wednesdays. You wait through a basketball practice. You watch the workouts. You wait and meet after. Like, that's going to resonate. What am I supposed to do about that? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, now let's not – full disclosure, I did tell, right? I did call, and I'm like, hey, this happened, right? Like, I can't help it.
It is crazy.
I can't help it, right?
It is crazy, though, having, like, an inside source, but at the same time, seeing a coach – spend, and how long is practice? 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. And if, like, if hoops with Coach Simons, who's right, super diligent with
maybe
that
maybe 2.5 hours?
It's longer than that.
Right. Yeah. So it takes some dedication to stick around to talk to certain players.
That's why, and these coaches, that's why I like Coach Rhule's tweet when he said enough's enough. These coaches are coming in here just too confident.
Hey, we're going to play Dog Eat Dog after we talk to Alex Baugh next.
City Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Hey, back with you, top of the hour here on Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. He's Damon Benning, I'm Andrew Rogers, and we are live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hail Varsity Club. Thanks for joining us, 590 AM ESPN Omaha, 1480 ESPN Lincoln, live on Twitter, live on YouTube. And now I'd like to bring in Alex Baugh. Baugh is the head coach of the boys basketball team at Lincoln Southwest. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate you, man. It's always a treat when we get to talk to you, and in particular on a personal level, man. I enjoy the heck out of you, man, and congratulations on a good start to the season so far.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Coach, Lincoln has produced some really solid basketball up to this point, and that won't be changing anytime soon. You guys are currently eighth in the class. One big one tonight against Lincoln East. A two-part question here for you because you've had about a week off. How did those 7 days get this team ready for today? And what's the rivalry like up in Lincoln in games like this, especially because of just the sheer level of competition we get to experience every Friday night in Lincoln?
Well, to start, I mean, I think these breaks at this point of the season can be a blessing and a curse at times. I mean, it's nice to get a one-game week to prepare. But, you know, the challenge is, you know, keeping guys focused and locked in for an entire week of practice. The rivalries in Lincoln are insane this year. You know, Lincoln is as talented top to bottom as it's been in as long as I can remember, and I don't think anybody disagrees with that. So, you know, whereas it used to maybe be one or two Lincoln games you'd have on the schedule that would pack a gym in a season, it's night after night, weekend after weekend. We're getting full gyms every night. So we got to be ready to go against East tonight, just like we've had to be in every Lincoln game to this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking to Kevin Suits a couple of days ago, and I asked him right after the Hack tournament if he was ready to make any bold predictions about – Lincoln High School basketball, and very sure. calm, cool Kevin Suits like. He said, I think I'll wait. There's this round robin schedule coming up the next 3 weeks. Let me sort it out. It has been a gauntlet. And if you're trying to play the math linear game of A plus B equals C, so C equals, that doesn't work. How in the world are you negotiating the scout versus opponent performance versus what you think you bring to the table? Do you just simply make it about your guys?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, the scout in Lincoln is pretty easy because we know each other so well.
That
so,
is
I mean,
true, like, especially the kids.
You know, so the kids know each other, the coaches know each other, so East knows exactly what to expect from us tonight, and we know exactly what to expect from them. I think the key to this season has been, I think if you remove Bellevue West, I think this is as wide open as Class A has been in as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got Lincoln incredibly talented top to bottom. I think what you got to do is just hang in there. You know, I mean, you're not going to win every game in Lincoln. No one's going to. No one has. And so it's just building towards playing your best basketball by the end of February, and it's making sure you bring it every night against Lincoln opponents because you're going to have to win games.
Alex, offense can come in all shapes and sizes in high school basketball. It can also come in a lot of different ways. I mean, for your group, it's the long ball. You guys like to shoot the three. Now, Southwest is 9% above the national average for three-point attempts, but have made 36% more than the national average projects by this point, too. So, based on this model of being a perimeter-heavy offense, what goes into your prep as a coach to draw plays in order to get your shooters open and play to their strengths?
Well, you know, those are stats I was not aware of. I appreciate you running those past me. I'll have to double-check with my coaching staff to see if those are stats that we like. We want to get out and run. So it starts with transition for us. And, we've got the athleticism to do it, and that's our program philosophy. We want to play fast and get up and down and make plays in space. So, you know, a lot of that starts with us hopefully getting defensive stops, pushing the ball fast in transition, putting some pressure on the rim, and then having guys that can stretch to corners in transition and knock down some threes. So, you know, I don't know that we have any one just bona fide lights out shooter, but we've got a lot of guys that can make it from the arc and a lot of guys that can attack the rim, and so it opens that up.
I go all the way back to, and this is pre-you winning a state championship with True Blood and those guys, obviously yeah. covered you a ton yeah. doing your broadcast. This is fascinating just because you and I both know, I've seen so many of these kids since they've been young. So I've seen the Ryland Smiths, the Chuck Loves, you got Helms, you've got Frager. You got a ton of options. How do you know how you want to play to make sure that you're complementing all your strengths?
Oh, I think that's been the biggest challenge.
I didn't even mention Boom, who I think is integral too. So it's like, you got options.
Absolutely. Oh, we've got so many options that if we as a coaching staff, I think, tried to micromanage it and make sure we got the ball in this guy's hands at this time and that guy's hands at that time against this opponent, I think it would be a misstep. So I think our upside is our ability to have it be any guy on any given night. And so if you can just get guys to play hard, share the ball, mm-hmm. and play on instincts, that's where you have success. The challenge becomes is getting a lot of, and we don't have selfish guys, but getting guys that are as capable offensively as every one of our players is to live with the fact that one night it might be 20 and the next night it might be 6. You know, so it's a lot of psychological management and emotional management throughout the season and trying to get everybody on the same page that our one goal is sharing the ball and winning games.
We're talking to Alex Baugh, Lincoln Southwest head boys basketball head coach. Toss him a follow on Twitter at Alex_Baugh. DB just talked about the grouping of players on your team, I should say. But let's talk about your team's leading scorer now. What's there to love about Chuck Love?
Oh, I mean, he can really put it in the basket. I mean, he is a special talent. that I think is, you know, you forget that he's just a sophomore. And I think he's maturing every day and expanding his game every day. So he's a real offensive talent. He's got a ton of potential defensively. And I think it's been games for him when he recognizes how disruptive his links can be defensively, that it leads to offense for both him and us. So I'm just excited to see how he continues to progress, because so much of his best basketball is ahead of him, and he's already played really well as a sophomore.
I know we've only got to get you out of here at 8:12 because you're the duality of a coach teacher. Two quick ones from me. I'll get into East and the scout here in a second, but you know, we do NEB preps every week with Jacob Padilla, and we really try to cover and scour high school basketball. So we watch you guys close. And the last couple of weeks, Braden Frager has really started to kind of come on. We knew about – well, I've known about his athleticism for a long time and his versatility. I think he's kind of finding a fit now within your offense.
Yep.
How key a cog do you think his evolution has been as you kind of want to play for the long game in late February?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why he falls under the radar as much as he does.
I agree.
He's right there at talent level.
Yeah.
And the most important piece that he does for us is he rebounds. So he is an outstanding rebounder. And then when we want to push in transition like we do, when you have a guy that can rebound as a big, really, lead the break, go coast to coast, advance the ball. He's just a pretty versatile offensive player. He's shooting it well from the arc for us this year. I think he's close to 50%.
He's close to 50%.
Yeah, and so he's taking good shots from the arc and showing that he can stretch defenses. And then when they come out and guard him there, he can use his athleticism and left-hand drive to get all the way to the rim, and he's incredible finisher there, as you know.
So let me get to East real quick before I get you out of here. You, Coach Campbell, it's funny to watch you guys. You're kind of old school in your mentalities, and you guys never really embraced the AAU summer circuit, so you guys stay lower level coaching kids, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the evolution of guys like Carter Mick, one of my favorite two-sport athletes. We know about Temple Meyer. When you look at East, what concerns you tonight outside of the fact that you know they're going to be well coached?
Oh, they're going to be well coached. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to defend. I mean, they're going to compete. And I think similar to us, they've got a lot of offensive weapons in their starting lineup. I think one key that maybe the average fan overlooks is it's going to be really important for us to keep Melissa. They're big off the
starting
off
to come around, isn't he? He's starting to come around.
Yeah. And that's going to be a big challenge for us. But they've got a lot of guys that can do a lot of things. They shoot three well. They put it on the floor well and can get to the rim. And they're so good at getting to 2 feet that when you think you've got a drive stop, they're running cutters on the backside, and you just got to stay on your toes all the time defensively. The one thing I will say that we like going into this game is they want to play fast, just like we do. And so I do think this game will get to a tempo we like, and we won't necessarily have to work for it to get it there. And so it should be a fun game to play and a fun game to watch.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Hey, next time we get you, Coach, you know I want to pick your brain about ball screens and the lack thereof, man. It's always fast.
I love that. We can get in the weeds, stand anytime you want on that stuff. Love to talk
about it. My favorite. I appreciate you, Coach.
Enjoy school.
All right. Thanks, guys. I will. Bye.
He's one of the few really, really good coaches.
Right.
That's not a huge fan of ball screens. Doesn't like adding extra defenders, and his philosophy is fantastic. I think there's other ways I can get guys open shots, and kind of his evolution of how he wants to coach, man. He is and it's great too, because his son's pretty good. They coach youth basketball, and neither he nor Coach Campbell want to get in the weeds with the AAU high school summer Well, we heard Coach Campbell a couple weeks ago. He's like, hey, full disclaimer, I coach the young guys. I stay out of that drama.
Hey, I'll tell you what too. If this is a coach that has won a state championship before, I'll buy into not setting ball screens. Something was working.
He's fantastic
when he won at Elkhorn South.
Absolutely.
And he's a good leader, and leadership comes in a lot of different ways. And you received some information about leadership just a few moments ago.
Yeah, just talking with one of my guys, and we were talking about recruiting, right? And he's a huge fan of another school in the Big 12, and I don't often like to say their name. It's just typically horns down when he and I are talking. But, you know, we're going back to leadership and being authentic. And he says, you know, to be a good leader, when you're recruiting, you have to first know what you're trying to accomplish. If there are folks that have worked with you before, they understand your vision and intent. So, to me, that's implying the guys that Coach Rhule is kind of bringing in the fray and guys that know him. He says, if you don't, you have to reteach those folks. More of your time can be focused on helping the newer staff along. This is just funny. You know, he's like an example I'll give because he's always around young people, which is why I like him. His daughters are fantastic. He says, I coach YMCA basketball and have done it for years. He says, the first session is always hectic because none of the kids know what to expect. If I have a kid rejoin me in the second session, the kids that had me before are familiar with me and know the drill and my expectations. It's so much easier. And I think the reason I like that is because some have made light of comparing and contrasting bringing over a full staff. Oh, Coach Frost brought over his guys, and that didn't work, and none of them have experience at the Power 5 level, and this, that, and the other, right? And then we got the compare and contrast. I was getting all those pie charts, right? And it's those Venn diagrams on coaching experience and youth and how they have less Power 5 coaching experience than this staff or that staff, and some cause for trepidation. And I always think, and I don't know what you think about this, sometimes the trump card to inexperience at a certain level can be familiarity with how you go about your business. And I don't know what the give and take is in terms of that because I don't have enough case studies.
Right.
But there is something to be said for familiarity and being able to get on the same page, which we've seen this Nebraska staff. That's why they've been able to get off and running.
Right.
Right?
No, I'm with you.
It's not just the leadership. It's just what Coach Satterfield tell us. I know exactly what he's thinking. He can be off doing this, this, and this, and our staff is familiar enough to know this is what we need to be doing in the meantime.
Right, which is why I said earlier on in the show, I think they're the exception to the rule after hearing, no pun intended, after hearing Lance and you give your guys' perspectives from another coach's viewpoint, because it is unfair to maybe pool in every single coach throughout this recruiting process. Because Matt Rhule sets an expectation for this area that is maybe so out of the norm.
And this is a different time, right, in high school athletics, right? There is a lot of really good players. And fresh on the heels of losing the Gatorade Player of the Year in Flores, I think there's this heightened level of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And remember, Coach Rhule said it himself. You know, we need to keep our in-state guys in-state. Like, he's been unabashed about saying that so everybody can see the real progress, because the misnomer is that Coach Frost didn't do a good job with kids in state. Actually, relatively speaking, did a pretty good job, especially his first couple of years with keeping kids in state. Now, you know, he misses on Micah Riley Ducker and Caden Helms and Keegan Johnson and some guys like that. But for the most part, given the talent level, it's kind of a little bit of revisionist history. And Coach Rhule is going to have his work cut out. But I do think when he tweets things like enough's enough, I think that's a lot of what he's talking about. Like, you just can't – as the state school, you have to make it uncomfortable for folks just to come around, right? The more I think about it, it's intentional. Oh, you're here for the second time during the day? You want to let that school know that you're still here.
Right.
You want to let that other school know that you're just now leaving, right? It's like, I don't know. I just think it's fascinating when I look at what I think they want the finished product to be in terms of fit. I read the article last night. A guy on Twitter sent it to me, Jeff, from Mike Farrell, who, Shane, we should probably grab for the show, about why he thinks Matt Rhule – can work at Nebraska. And it's hard not – it was hard for me reading that deal from Farrell to not be all in like, yep, he's exactly right, because he's saying – from his perspective, in full disclosure, he's like, I don't even know Coach Rule like that. I just know guys he's coached with and guys he's coached against. I'm an East Coast guy, so I have connections, and this is what I'm getting. He's all about fit. And all I could do after reading that, I was like, that's all you and I ever talk about with why I think he's gotten off to a good, such a good start, is because I told you right after Junior Day, when you're comping the 20 guys in that room and you're basing it on something right. that you've ever – oh, Mason Goldman. Yeah, Mason Goldman's a lot like this guy, and he can do this and with this frame. And it's like when you're talking to Mason and you're doing that, that's why you cancel visits to other schools.
Right. And it's cool because it resonates with everybody.
Oh,
his message of fit goes with everyone. Do we have time for trivia? We only have about 6 minutes left in this segment.
Do I have to leave?
I'll kick you out. Let's play. I think we could get it done in 6 minutes.
All right.
All right. DB, yeah. Headset off. Just come back in about 3 minutes. I'm going to bring Mike in on the show. Mike, good morning. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. Hey, you're playing for a Hale Varsity Club gift card, a $25 gift card to be exact. All you got to do is beat DB in trivia. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, you get answer choices. He doesn't, but he does get one Hail Mary in order to get the answer choices for one question. But here's your first question. Caitlin Clark joined Dwayne Wade earlier this week as the only women's or men's Division I players with a triple-double versus an AP Top 2 opponent since 1999. What Conference USA team at the time did D. Wade play for? Was it Louisville, Marquette, or Cincinnati?
Marquette.
Question number two. Frank Reich was named the head coach of the Carolina Panthers yesterday, the sixth head coach in franchise history, excluding interims. Who was the longest tenured head coach for the organization? Was it Dom Capers, Ron Rivera, or John Fox?
Oh, I'm going to say John Fox.
And question number three, Mike, contrary to popular belief, it was Scott Rolen who was elected into baseball's Hall of Fame, not Mark Grace, Shane, just so you know.
Who's Scott Rolen?
He won a World Series with the Cardinals in 2006. Who won World Series MVP that year? Was it Albert Pujols, David Eckstein, or Chris Carpenter?
I'm going to do, I don't know, Albert Pujols.
Okay, and your tiebreaker question, how many total career points does Caitlin Clark currently have? Just throw out a number. Closest one gets it.
No idea. Let's just say 500.
500. Thank you, Mike. Shaner, can you go let DB in? We're going to bring DB back. Mike, how's your day going?
It's going, man. Enjoying myself on Coffee and Cream right now.
Hey, I love it. I love it. We appreciate you having you on the show. DB, it seems like you've got your work cut out for you. You excited? Mike, I'm going to keep you on the line. Feel free to react anytime. Just don't give away any answers. You are coming off a loss.
Yeah, Kendall got me. Although he had audience help, so there's no
But then pressure. You tied Shane.
Okay.
No, you beat Shane.
Okay.
You beat Shane.
So
technically you're off a win. Okay, we got about 3 minutes here.
All right, I'll hustle.
Question number one. Caitlin Clark joined Dwayne Wade earlier this week as the only men's or women's Division I players with a triple-double versus an AP Top 2 opponent since 1999. What Conference USA team at the time did D. Wade play for?
Marquette.
DB, question number two. Frank Reich was named the head coach of the Carolina Panthers yesterday, the sixth head coach in franchise history, excluding interims. Who was the longest tenured head coach for the organization?
That's my franchise.
That one got me. I'm glad I had the choice.
It's either it's either Fox or Rivera. Give me John Fox.
And question number three, contrary to popular belief, it was Scott Rolen who was elected into baseball's Hall of Fame as a part of the 2023 class, not Mark Grace.
Wow.
He won a World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals in 2006.
You're a child.
Who was World Series MVP that year? Remember, you do have the Hail Mary left.
God, was it Eckstein? Give me
the answer choices.
Yeah,
it's either Albert Pujols, David Eckstein, or Chris Carpenter.
Ooh. Give me. Is it the obvious? I think it's. Give me David Eckstein.
And tiebreaker question: how many career total points to this point does Caitlin Clark have?
Oh, Lord. Are you serious?
Yeah, just closest to the number.
How many years has she been there? Two?
I didn't give that to Mike, so I'm not going to give that to you.
So let's let's see. 35 games. She goes 20 a night, so that's at least 700. She has 1,500 career points. 1,550.
Changed his mind. Thanks, yeah. DB. Let's go through them. Mike, can you win a gift card? The answer to question number one, D-Wade played for Marquette. Nice job, both of you. Each got it right. The longest tenured head coach in the Carolina Panthers organization is indeed John Fox. You both got it right.
Let's go.
And the World Series MVP in 2006, Mike, unfortunately, God. It was not Albert Pujols. It was David Eckstein.
Let's go!
DB takes you down, gets three right, and if it helps, you didn't get the tiebreaker either. Caitlin Clark is
2198.
Mike, we appreciate it.
We should give him a gift card just for that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll give you a $10 gift card. Yeah, I'll write your name
down. Stay on the line with Shane.
We're talking to Robin Washett next.
Coffee and Cream with Rodgers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
No real live practice to get ready for this one, so we'll see how the legs are for the Wildcats.
Look at Tominaga driving to the rim to start things off.
That's the scary thing about a zone, is you're in an area not with a man.
Ooh, Dennis Dawson. A little frustration taken out of the rim.
Kevin Kugler on the call there.
With our famed Nicholas Allen. How fortunate, how spoiled are
was
we?
Was that FS2, right?
Yeah.
On FS2?
Couple
Fox
of local
brother, as you said.
Great. Yeah, man, we got to ask my guy, man, how he feels about that.
It's back on Coffee and Cream in the morning here on Hale Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. Damon Benning, Andrew Rodgers, and now bringing in Robin Washett, who is a fantastic guest if you want to learn anything and everything about Nebraska basketball. He's the Nebraska senior team writer for Husker Online. Robin, good morning.
Good morning. You're far too kind.
I always feel like you say that, but Robin. I'm not saying anything good about anybody that I don't believe, man. Like, this, your write-ups.
Right. When you put it like that.
Right?
Validity,
like,
right.
Like your pregame notes, your patience. I mean, people at
your delivery.
So here's my favorite, right? Like, even Trev doesn't know, but what inevitably is somebody going to ask Robin Washett? Hey, Robin, I'm in chat. How many games does Coach Hoiberg need to, like, bro? How is Robin supposed to know that? Like, why do people ask Robin Washett? Robin, have you talked to the brass? Do you know how many games Coach Hoiberg needs to win to save his job?
Yeah. And the best is when I just give him a guess and they get mad about it.
Well, and you know what's
always fun?
You know what's funny about that, Robin, is because I was listening to your Fast Break segment the other day, and you had mentioned an interesting point about Fred Hoiberg, kind of like answering the question without answering the question, by talking about how the $11 million buyout could be hanging over Trev's head.
Is that a lot?
It's not a small amount of money. And possibly the long hours and stressful days he had to endure when he was searching for his next football coach. I mean, answer this if you can. Does that make you think, no matter what happens going forward, that they will just stick to Fred for another year because he was hit with a lot of uncertainty this year?
I'm not going to say no matter what. There's a lot that could potentially change over this next month and a half to where, I mean, if this thing completely bottoms out and they're losing every game by 20 and fans stop showing up, then it might be a much different discussion. But, you know, personally, I don't see that happening. I think there's still too much leadership on that locker room, even with the guys that are out. And, you know, I think they have a style of play that, assuming they can get some semblance of offense going, they can at least avoid those types of just real embarrassing defeats. But, you know, they're facing a really uphill battle right now. And I think, as I mentioned on that video and other places, that it's kind of just an incomplete discussion right now, because a lot depends on just kind of the optics of how this thing finishes out. And, you know, is Fred Hoiberg's team still playing, you know, with fight? Are they, you know, at least given the level of effort that has given them the success that they've had thus far? And are they, even if they're not necessarily winning much, are they at least giving the fans a product they can be proud of? And if they do, I think that the reasons for optimism paired with Fred's situation with his contract, and then obviously Nebraska's situation coming off all the work they had to do on the football side, it just seems like, you know, everybody's trying to avoid having to make a big move right now. Again, that's kind of where I think things stand right now, but there's very much the opportunity that things could change one way or the other in this discussion, just depending on how the rest of the season plays out.
Robin, let me take advantage of your thoughtfulness. How do we reconcile, or how would you reconcile in your head, when his top five guys were playing, they were 7-3, right? It's hard data. It's right there. We can see it. A couple good wins, Creighton, Iowa. Say what you want about a meaningful loss with Purdue versus 4 years of being a microcosm of what Nebraska historically has been. Is that, like, how long of a discussion is that?
I mean, I think that's a huge part in this, because of just how drastically Fred changed everything about this program since the end of last season, with reconfiguring his coaching staff and bringing in guys with different philosophies and schematic ideas and recruiting a different type of player, where you're not going out there and stargazing for the best available prospects. You're getting guys that fit a plan, that, you know, that fit an identity that you're trying to build. And the fact that they had immediate success in literally one off season and one half of a regular season to show what, you know, maybe this big picture vision could be, you know, I think that that's something that, when you talk about reasons why Fred should come back, that's got to be right up there at the top of the list. That I think every Nebraska fan that you talk to will agree that this has been by far the most enjoyable season under Fred Hoiberg, and it's not even close. And a lot of that is because they're playing a style of basketball that, one, is, in my opinion, much more conducive to success in the Big Ten, fits the type of play that I think a lot of Nebraska fans want, where they're tough, they're gritty, you know, they're playing good defense, they're rebounding, and it's team-oriented offense. You know, I think that is something that, you know, regardless of win-losses, is a lot easier for most fans to get behind. And, you know, you pair that with the fact that they went to Omaha and beat Creighton. They beat Iowa by 16. They arguably should have beaten the number one team in the nation in Purdue. They beat Ohio State. You know what I mean? Like, those are undeniable that, you know, when this picture played out the way that Fred Hoiberg had hoped, Nebraska was pretty good. And, you know, they lost two of their most critical players. There's four guys that they could not afford to lose, and they lost two of them. So, like, that, you got to equate that in the discussion as well. There's very few coaches that, you know, I don't care if it's Duke or Kentucky, if you lose two of your best players, you're going to be a different team. And especially in Nebraska's situation where, you know, essentially, I know it's year four, but they're really in year one of this rebranding of the program. You know, they just had such a small margin of error to begin with, and then you lose those two guys. That's pretty crippling as far as maintaining that level of competitiveness. So, you know, I know that that's the one side of the coin, where you look at all those reasons of why you can be optimistic about the direction this thing is going under Fred Hoiberg. But the other side of the coin is, you know, people are saying it's year four, and essentially you're telling me that we need to go through the grind of another year one right now. And how there's tracking to be yet another sub 500 season where you're not even remotely close to sniffing postseason play. Like I just don't think there's a wrong answer at this point. And if you, no matter who you ask, you're going to have a different opinion on what Nebraska should do with its men's basketball program. But, you know, I'm kind of leaning more to the sides of, given the financial part of it, and my opinion that I don't think Trev really wants to pay $11 million for another coach, not the coach here. And, you know, the fact that he seems pretty supportive of this new direction that Fred has taken. I mean, he's been to as many home games as I can remember, at least that I've seen him. Obviously, he's actively involved with, you know, talking to players and coming to practices and stuff like that. That just, you know, suggests that Trev is more leaning towards the camp of letting this thing play out for at least another year to see if they can continue this, add some more depth. You know, it's going to be another task this offseason, replacing Griesel, Walker, and Bandamel. But, you know, if you can return the core group of guys, especially some of these young dudes that are going to be playing a lot of minutes down the stretch here, you know, the Jamarcus Lawrence, the Denham Dawsons, the I guess you can throw Wilhelm in there as well. You know, those guys are going to be cutting their teeth in a big way over this next month and a half. And, you know, that maybe changes the dynamics of what your roster next season could be, because you actually have some experience coming back despite what you're losing with those three veterans. So, I do think that's a big part of this. And for the only opinion that matters with Trev Alberts, I think that that's could be enough reason to keep this thing going another year. But again, they got to make sure they finish out strong and don't change that opinion over the next month and a half.
Robin, time flies when we're having fun, and it's already to the end of our segment now, but you had a lot of great information, and we appreciate your time as always.
So good, Robin. I appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Robin Washit, Nebraska senior team writer for Husker Online. Tell us about follow on Twitter at Robin Washit.
Easily in my top 10.
For guests?
He's just so good. Like, you... He fits my personality.
He made a ton of great points, and, you know, frankly, something else that, you know, he kind of alluded to with losing Gary and Bandamel. At some point, Griesel and Walker have to stop being unselfish on the floor. They have to take over.
I always wondered if they could bottle what's made Bandamel so endearing to, like, Trev and his staff. Could they build a program on stuff like that? Because he has some intangibles.
Mike Sauter up next.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio. This segment with Mike Sauter is presented by Awaken Men's Health.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Mike Sauter.
I would agree, Damon.
Mike Sauter.
Yeah.
Mike Sauter.
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot.
Mike Sauter.
This potential car wreck with Mike Sauter during his segment is brought to you by... No, actually, just in case of the potential car wreck, make sure you find folks, stop out and see our guys at Dingman's, voted best in Omaha for 18 years running. So good at what they do. A lot of personal experience. So I'm telling you what I believe to be true. If you're looking for locally owned and operated that's got care and concern for the community, do you see that? A lot of alliteration, like our fun, fantastic Friday. Then it's got to be about Dingman's. They got great locations all over the city. Yeah, you can stop out on 120th. That's their standalone. They do what they do. All makes and models, old to new. 25 years in the business. You're obviously pretty good at what you do. That is Dingman's Collision Center. As we welcome in Herdot Sports' very own train wreck, Mike.
He probably feels like a train wreck, too.
Well, he's got low testosterone. That's probably what it is.
Is that what it is?
How's your testosterone levels, Mike?
It's better than I thought, I'll tell you that. Today...
Said no one ever.
Waking up today, I'm feeling a lot more sore today than I did yesterday.
Yeah.
But the champ is here.
Oh, I knew that was coming. The champ is here.
The champ, yeah.
The champ is here.
The champ is definitely here in the building.
That's Will Smith. What movie was that?
Is it Ali?
Very good.
Yeah.
Ali. Well, Ali. Ali. Kumbaya. So
what I should do is go check out Andrew with Awaken Men's Health, who has over 7
Not
years.
Not me.
Over 7 years of experience with men's
Your
hormones,
yin is good.
Peptides, and weight loss treatments. If you're curious about testosterone levels or suffer from fatigue, low libido, weight gain, or muscle soreness, go check him out at awakenmenshealth.com.
You're experiencing some muscle soreness, too, after your fight with Chuck. I shouldn't say fight.
Fight. Yeah.
Wrestling match with Chuck.
And, I definitely think you're low on the whole libido testosterone thing. So go get yourself woke. Stay woke, Mike Sutter.
I was going to say something about asking my wife, but I'll leave that alone.
Hey,
I don't want to do all that. No, for real though, my body is telling me I'm a 43-year-old and shouldn't be wrestling grown men. And
my mind's telling me no.
See, I was
but my body.
Yeah.
Mike, at what point,
Mike Jerome R. Kelly.
At what point should you not mess around anymore and actually take competition seriously?
Yeah, I almost got a rude awakening too, and he's much younger than me, Darlando Hill, who's a state champion wrestler, coaches on our Westside wrestling staff. I went to school with his uncles and his dad, and we were just messing around after practice. And he had the solder technique too, stall, long arms, didn't exert a ton of effort. You know, I wanted to give him a warning, but I remember when he won state, you know, he's very defensive-oriented, but I felt a lot better than this guy. I had a feeling you'd be in trouble over here when your lack of flexibility was very apparent.
That is true.
Hey,
couldn't do a sit-up.
It's just weird.
I can do a sit-up.
Couldn't do a push-up.
I can do multiple. All right, when we're done with this show, for the morning dump, I'm going to do 25 push-ups in a row.
I believe you.
I will.
Okay.
This is how the wrestling thing happened. I got dared, and I'm like, all right, I'll show you.
Oh, this wasn't a dare. I just called you out and said that people are saying you won't.
Hey,
I'm not the people. I was just telling you what the people were saying.
I'm the champ.
The champ is here. I have a question.
25 push-ups with a bad back.
You've done this a while. When's the last time you've seen a team in consecutive games have 7-point possessions?
Not very often.
Wasn't
it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Prep in Westside. That was
they did it a couple of days earlier against Central.
Yeah, it was Westside was in control of that game. It felt like
30 out of 32 minutes.
And then it just was like that one little, you know, you make a mistake in getting a tee, probably no reason to talk in that moment. After a foul, so that's 4 straight free throws, you're up 37-33 and then bang, and then you miss a shot and then bang, like and then or they get the ball and then it's a three and it's like, and Joey Reichel was a dude, like he couldn't miss 6 threes.
I go back and I listen. I watch that and I'm like, huh? Are we icing ball screens or are we not?
Yeah,
like that's you just can't let good shooters shoot the basketball.
I kind of felt bad too in that game for CJ Mitchell. Well, I mean, not felt bad, but he was like, I mean, he was on it early.
Early?
Quit, like, real early. And then he got his second foul with 1:52 left in the first quarter, and he had to sit, and it kind of took him – then it was kind of took him out of it. And it's – because he had to sit for, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much that as much as
– he was getting downhill, getting to the rim, and
he was doing that all game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was doing that all game.
And they
still have to shoot the basketball better.
Yeah. Like, if your offense is predicated on driving kick, well, the people you kick it to better make shots. Like, that's basically what it is.
So are you firm in Gretna 2, dogfight everywhere else?
Yeah. I think at this point, I think Gretna's established themselves as the 2. Bellevue West, obviously, I think the 1, which Bellevue West has a nice little run here coming up.
It's all relative.
Sioux City East is undefeated, ranked top 5 in Iowa. That's Thursday night coming up, so I think that one's at Bellevue West. That should be a good game. We'll see. I think that they are I think Bellevue West is clear 1. I think Gretna's clearly 2 at this point. And then it's really like it's probably Prep at 3, but yeah, Prep Westside.
I'm gonna disagree.
I'm saying
it's a discussion.
Who
am I?
Yeah, who beat who? Miller North is in that group. East Lincoln just beats everybody.
What was Tuesday?
That was wild.
for Lincoln East. It's like, and all of a sudden here comes Pius. And we talked to Alex this morning with Southwest and Lincoln East. Like, it's a super crapshoot.
Yeah, you have Southwest tonight plays – they play East tonight?
Yeah, Southwest plays East.
Yeah, Lincoln, there's some big games this week. So, Kearney goes to North Star tonight. Kearney's at 16, number 16 in the wild card points.
And and Brandon Clemens and North Star are starting to really play well.
Kearney's Santanella 4.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a big game. Brian wins. We're not talking about Lincoln. I mean, just skip it. Brian's at 15th right now, so that's a 2. That gets you a home game in the district.
Team Galen Gully.
So, like, they beat North the other night on Wednesday, which was a weird Wednesday night game.
I know.
So,
you don't see it often. Let me – Drew Downs brought up this fantastic first segment. It drained in the second segment, and then it went into the third segment. Recruiting prowess.
Yeah.
Schools in town, man. Oof. When's the last time you remember seeing a week like this for the Who's Who?
Oh, I don't. It's not. It's been, I don't think, ever. Like, maybe back in the day before we tracked all this stuff, you know. Like,
back in the day.
Like,
yeah, when you
were playing.
you oldie.
When it,
you old man.
It's impressive, right? Like, and I do have, I had a couple people hit me up about, like, oh, if Sauter doesn't tweet that school's in town or at our school.
Shoot, it's hard for you to keep up.
There's a lot going on and moving parts. Then it must not have happened. And my response was, I'm not a mind reader. Like, if you want me to share it, who's in today, tell me. Like, and I'll be more than happy to. So it's one of those things, like, but Danny Kaline's getting a ton of run this week. I mean, a ton. Northwestern's back again today for him. They were here earlier this week. Colorado's OC's in. He's going there tomorrow, this weekend, for an unofficial visit. There's a lot going on. Tyson Terry, Caleb Pyfrom have had big weeks. Caleb obviously has had a bunch of people come in and see him at Westside. Westside today, Iowa State is there.
Yeah, Anthony's
today.
Throwing this morning.
Throwing for he was a – exchanged text with him last night. He wasn't sure the actual coach that's coming in, if it's gonna be Campbell or not, because Campbell was in, how about this guy, Joseph Stein, Kevin Stein's kid. He flew into Grand Island. Matt Campbell and the tight end coach flew into Grand Island, went to Grand Island Northwest yesterday to see Joseph Stein, who is their 220 pounder wrestler. And he's a big, long, tall drink of water. Yes, he had one catch last year. Care, that ain't what it's about right now. So that's another name that is interesting, right? That we don't really, he doesn't get talked about a ton. And how about Ainsworth? Like,
Marcus
Freeman went to freaking Ainsworth, Nebraska. Yeah. Notre Dame's head coach.
That's crazy too. Deal. They just asked for Caleb's transcripts too the other day. So maybe here comes Notre Dame. But you're gonna have five guys. With double digit, all five have.
Yeah.
There's five guys with more than double digit Power Five offers in the 2024 class. Mm-hmm. Is that a lot?
Yes, that feels strong. The Riley Ducker, Helms, who else was in that group two years ago? Right. I feel like there was five or six in that, more than that.
With double digits?
Well, not double digits. Okay, maybe those two for sure.
Because you'll have Pyfrom, Nelson, Kalen. And Benning,
Caleb,
and McMorris.
And we'll see with Davon Hall.
Could all approach. Oh, and Davon Hall. Yeah. So six.
Yeah.
That's six, right?
Yeah.
We'll have double digit Power Five offers.
Yeah.
Super six would be pretty easy then, huh? Oh, wait. Maybe Sam Sledge will get snubbed again.
Wow.
I'm bitter about that one.
I was going to say that one hit deep.
When that dude's the starting center at Nebraska or whatever in like 2 years, people are going to be like, how did this?
From your lips to God's ears, I want him to play so bad.
Yeah.
Can we get him out of here on this?
Yeah, let's
AR?
Do it.
So.
Got 30 seconds.
How are you going? When you base rankings, are you going to look at productivity or are you going to look at scholarship offers?
Well, you got to do a little bit of both. You got to balance both. Probably a little bit of productivity. And by that, I mean what Caleb did in the state championship.
It doesn't have to be about my kid.
No, I know. But against who he did it against, because my affinity for Zane Flores is remarkable, right? So, that matters, right? tape matters.
Gonna be interesting.
Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next.